Chapter 8. Nisha alerted the DHS. They ran out the door in 5 minutes. 90 minutes later, Nisha and Quinn approached a lengthy line of cars parked on the side of the road. Everyone stood beside their cars, talking and pointing. Most cars approached and did a quick U-turn to get out of there. A helicopter broke the desert silence. Nisha posted, "A 300-meter-wide diameter sphere has appeared 5 miles northeast of Mojave. I'm in front of the object right now." She remembered the EMPs. Nisha calculated the difference in time between when the Mojave sphere was discovered and when they detected the electromagnetic pulse. Nisha posted, "It took only 3 hours, at the most, for the 300-meter diameter Mojave sphere to travel from the big sphere in lunar orbit to the Earth." She posted, "The sphere has been dormant since landing, other than bidirectional ultra-high frequency signals. They, or it, is communicating with the mothership orbiting the moon." No sooner had she sent the last post when she noticed some movement on the ground behind the sphere. "Quinn, can you hand me the scope?"
"Sure, what do you see?"
"I don't know. I see movement out there, but it's too dark."
"There's no light. How can you see?"
Some car lights flashed in that direction, and for a second...
"What's happening?"
"I'm not sure, but small points of light are flickering behind the sphere." Silence.
"There's something moving," Nisha said.
"How big?" Quinn said.
"I think they're small."
"They, what size are they?" Quinn said. He wiped sweat off his brow. She squinted into the scope.
"I can't tell. There's nothing nearby to compare them with."
Nisha posted, "Unidentified things are moving behind the sphere, possibly many things, more soon."
"What's out there?" Quinn said.
"I don't know," Nisha said. "They're flowing. I wish the moon were out tonight. I cannot tell if the moving thing is one flowing entity or thousands of smaller things moving in a herd low to the ground."
"Oh.
What do you see now?" Quinn said. A car headlight flashed across the scene.
"Thousands of them!"
"Of what?"
"Thousands of crab-like things are crawling around," Nisha said. "They remind me of the drones that took samples from the astronauts, except they're crawling around. They're staying near the sphere, fortunately for us."
"Nish, we should get out of here. Your palms are sweaty."
"Yours are too. Every cell in my body is telling me to run away, but we need to watch what they do. They seem to avoid doing us harm, and I might never get a chance again to witness the work of a real alien race, assuming they're a real biological race. We've only seen machines, and these seem like machines. We haven't seen their builders. This sphere may be a reconnaissance probe full of drones." She posted,
"Thousands of small machines are emerging from the sphere. Purpose? Unknown."
"It's 2 a.m., Quinn said. "What are we going to do about sleeping?"
"I'm nowhere near ready to sleep. You can sleep in the passenger seat, and I'll stay awake in the driver's seat in case we need to get away. So far, they seem benign."
"Okay, I'll try to get some sleep. You can sleep later. This will be a long night." The sphere towered over them. Darkness pervaded the night, but the sense of negative space intimidated them. Quinn tried to sleep, but couldn't for a long time. He kept his eyes closed for a while. Nisha posted, "It's an ominous black hole, towering 60 or 80 stories above us. The top is out of sight. The electronic sounds are loud now, like a crowd of static voices ringing in my ear." At that moment, someone in the growing crowd along the side of the highway turned on a bright floodlight and lit up the area around the base of the sphere. Nisha posted, "The AI drones are cooperating on some task." She watched in silence for an hour. Several people walked over to talk and got back into their cars.
"Quinn, wake up," Nisha whispered.
He looked out over the dimly lit landscape.
"What are they doing?"
"I'm not sure, but they're cooperating in the construction of something. They aren't reacting to the floodlight. They're ignoring us. They emit a soft blue glow."
Nisha posted, "The drones know we're here, but they're ignoring us."
"Look, they're making a pile of dirt," Quinn said. "Why would they do that?"
Nisha shrugged her shoulders.
"I'm not sure, but they must be digging a hole on the other side to make the pile. The hole might be a defensive tactic, or they might need material for some project."
"A mine used to operate out here," Quinn said. "It wasn't successful because the ores were too difficult to extract."
"Oh yeah, I remember that," Nisha said.
"They found rare earth minerals, but they were too expensive to extract, so the mines were abandoned. The aliens might use the rare earths as we do for our electronics. Maybe this is a universal need."
"Nish, what are you doing?"
Quinn said. I'm putting on my eyepiece to help my agent detect patterns in their behavior. She blinked to activate.
Does the agent help? Quinn said.
Yes, now I detect things I might otherwise miss.
Huh?
What is it? They're behaving like a swarm. They're working on something. They're moving as one large entity. They're making something.
What type of thing?
I don't know, but the structure is getting bigger fast. I'm not sure where they're getting the metal, but the thing they're making looks like a concrete and metal framework. They watched in silence for 10 minutes. He put his arm around her and said nothing.
Impressive, Nisha said. It's 2 stories tall already.
I don't see much, Quinn said.
Me neither, but my eyepiece can detect the movement vectors in the chaos and display them on top of the scene before me. It's a semi-transparent display, and I can zoom in at 10 times magnification.
What's this?
What?
Quinn said as he looked through his binoculars. They're doing something out there, but I can't tell what. The structure is already 3 stories tall.
Hold on, Nisha said.
She posted. The alien crawler drones are building a structure for some undetermined purpose. Quinn squinted into the darkness. They're crawling all over. They each create a little part of the structure. Each one is a 3D printer, like I use for my sculpture models. Do you notice that, Nish?
Yes, they're printing the structure. They remind me of ants. I think they can lift things 100 times their weight. They interact cooperatively with each other. The base is expanding too.
The construction of this thing is happening so quickly, I can't keep up with them. The building is materializing right in front of our eyes, like a time lapse.
Yeah, Quinn said.
I could use a few of those crawler drones at my workshop. Think of the things I could build. They give me the creeps, though. They remind me of a cross between a praying mantis and a spider.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but they still remind me of ants. Either way, there's an insect-like quality to them.
They're working together using a shared schematic plan.
Wait a minute. The DHS wants to talk to me.
Nisha opened her DHS communication app.
General Sherman, I'm so glad to talk with you. I can't wait to tell you what I'm witnessing here.
It's good to talk with you too, Dr. Chandra. President Wilson is with me. We're in an underground bunker, away from the White House.
Hello, Madam President, Nisha said.
Please call me Emma, the president reminded her. Nisha smiled.
Okay, call me Nisha.
Okay, Nisha, please tell us what's happening there. We have people on the way now and they'll be at your location in a few hours. They'll be working with you to learn about this alien intelligence.
What can you tell us right now?
Well, we're a 90-minute drive outside of Pasadena in the Mojave Desert. I'm excited and shivering at the same time. I've been here for a couple of hours. When I got here, I watched hundreds of thousands of crawling, insect-like drones digging a hole in the desert. Now they've self-organized into swarm-like formations and are building a structure. It's now about 7 stories tall after only an hour of construction.
An hour ago, this didn't exist.
Yes, they're building a structure of an unknown composition for an unknown purpose. The structure looks like the base for a large office building made by Gaudi and Geiger. Millions of drones are crawling up and down the structure. They're 3D printing the entire structure out of some unknown mixture of materials they've dug out in the desert. There's no light, so I can't show you much. I can barely discern them in the darkness. They're building it quickly. The base is widening, which indicates to me the structure will be an immense size. I estimate they add a new level every 5 minutes. 8 stories have been completed now. They're moving at a fast pace and are showing no signs of slowing down.
Fascinating, Emma said.
How would you evaluate the level of their technological development?
I don't know what type of beings created these drones or the ones we saw in space, but the technology contains complexity far beyond our current means. I mean, at least a century or more ahead at our current rate of technological acceleration. Even with our AI agents, we're nothing. The surprising thing is how they're ignoring our presence. I mean, people are shining headlights on them and they keep working. They know we're here. I'm comforted in a way because they ignore us, but I'm anxious because they're making no effort at all to contact us. I doubt these drones possess the entire intelligence behind the sphere in orbit around the moon. These drones are straight builder drones in their function. They've been built by a higher intelligence, which might be organic or machine. The higher intelligence might be creating a base for their planned activities on Earth.
Are you saying they're building a colony here on Earth? Emma said.
No, I can't determine that now. However, the structure seems solid and permanent. They're building the 10th level of the structure now, and they've been working for not even an hour. The drones are fast and precise.
They're the size of a large king crab, but when they collaborate, they can act as one large drone. I don't think each one is remote controlled by some intelligence. These drones are making independent decisions and are working together. They might be operating from a central plan. Can you identify any other life forms or phenomena? Emma said.
No, Nisha said.
It's dark. I only see the drones, the structure, and the sphere. The amazing thing about the sphere is there are no signs indicating a method of propulsion. No blast marks or other evidence of a landing can be seen. This sphere seems to have been gently placed on the desert by an enormous hand. When the sun rises, I'll be able to give a much better evaluation of the situation.
Okay, we'll talk later, Emma said.
Our scientists will arrive soon after sunrise to assist you. Also, several military convoys are on their way to try to maintain order out there. You'll oversee the scientific inquiry and will work with one other scientist from the CDC. You'll report directly to General Sherman and he'll report to me. I want the best information possible. Understood?
Yes, I understand. I'll keep you updated.
The structure is now 11 stories tall and getting wider at the base. This is a rapidly developing project they're undertaking. I'm also concerned about microbial contamination both ways. I'm sure they know what they're doing for their safety, but we don't know what their microbes might do to us.
Yeah, we're also sending infectious disease specialists from the CDC. One named Rachel Feynman will work directly with you. She's a multidisciplinary expert, Emma said.
They signed off and Quinn tried to sleep. She watched for a while as the drones furiously continued their work. She posted, "The crawler drones are building a structure at an astonishing pace. No purpose determined."
"Quinn, wake up, Quinn."
She nudged him a bit. He rubbed his eyes.
"Oh, Nish, I finally got to sleep. What's happening?"
"They're still building the structure. Watch how quickly they work. You've only been asleep for a couple of hours. It's time for sunrise."
"That thing must be 15 stories tall already," Quinn said. "They were starting construction when I fell asleep."
"Yeah, I don't know how big this thing is going to be. They're making the material for the structure right here on the building site. Nothing is coming out of the sphere except for drones coming and going."
"Hold on, I need to update everyone," Nisha posted.
"The structure is 15 stories tall. Building pace is increasing. Drones are uninterested in us. Static voices in my mind are loud."
"Could this go on forever?" Quinn said.
"Yes. They may never run out of materials."
"What are they making?"
Nisha said nothing for a brief time.
"I don't know. This might be a monitoring station or an outpost or a place to live. Whatever they're building is solid. The sky is getting lighter to the east now. Soon the sun will rise. I should update everyone."
Nisha posted, "It's dawn. An ocean of drones are working on this structure."
"They look like ants coming down from the hills," Quinn said.
"Yeah, they're mining something from the mountain and they're bringing the material to the site. The odd thing is, I still notice the sounds, but they aren't coming from these drones. I think there's something else in the sphere. I think they're living beings even though they sound electronic. They may be a form of advanced AI combined with organic life. They might know where Priya and Sophie are."
Tears filled Quinn's eyes.
"Do you think we'll ever see her again?"
"Yes," she said. "She's in orbit around the moon if she isn't in this sphere in front of us."
"Are you sure, Nish?" Quinn said.
"I'm sure," Nisha said.
Quinn hugged her.
"I'm relieved when you say that, though I know you're only trying to make me feel better. The sun is rising. I should go get something for us to eat in Mojave. It's only a few miles away, okay?"
"Okay," Nisha said.
"I'm going to continue to watch from right here until you get back. I don't want to miss anything."
As Quinn drove away, Nisha watched as a large military convoy passed his car on the dusty highway as the convoy headed towards the sphere. Thousands of people lined up on the shoulder. Some were cooking breakfast on portable camp stoves. People in RVs set up camp as though a concert or celebration was happening. Most cars turned around and sped away, however. The sun reflected off the sphere as though off a huge convex mirror. The reflected puffy high clouds seemed to bend around the sphere, creating a tunnel-like effect. Nisha watched as the convoy slowly passed by.
"Dr. Chandra," an enthusiastic woman wearing an eyepiece said as she leaned out of a truck.
Nisha felt hesitant to reply. However, she knew her face had been identified in the woman's eyepiece display.
"Yes, this is me," Nisha said.
The truck pulled over. The woman climbed down from the passenger side and extended her hand. The convoy continued. Hi, Dr. Chandra. I'm Rachel Feynman. I'm an evolutionary biologist with the CDC, and I'm here to work with you for the duration of this event. Nisha smiled as they shook hands. Hi, Rachel. I'm glad you're here. I'm getting more anxious by the minute watching them build this thing. Nisha always had a mistrust of big government, but she had no choice but to go along. She didn't think it was evil, but she knew the tendencies of bureaucracy. However, a science branch of government was her best chance to recover Priya and the other kids, so she decided to cooperate. Me too, Rachel said. I don't know how you stayed here overnight in the dark. I'd be scared half to death. Everything is scarier at night. I can't imagine the technological complexity behind what I'm seeing here. So what are you thinking? Nisha said. We're worried about many things. First, we don't know whether microbial life is being set loose. We'll find out quickly. Next, we don't know their intentions, so the convoy will close off this highway and keep people at a safer distance a few miles back. Finally, we don't know who they are. They might be organic beings like us, robotic, or a hybrid of the two. They might be a form of life we can't imagine. Yes, this might be anything, Nisha said. My guess is they're organic. If they were robotic, chances are they would have taken over the Earth or even the galaxy long ago. I think these drones are semi-autonomous but controlled or software-limited by whatever beings created them. They watched in silence for several minutes while Rachel took some air samples. They were downwind from the construction site. Is the structure bigger than it was a few minutes ago? Rachel said. Yes, it's 30 stories tall and the base is getting thicker after only a few hours of construction. They're still adding one story every 5 minutes. Incredible. I don't know what we can do about them. All we can do for now is make the best of this circumstance and learn as much as we can. Are they blocking the highway entrance to this area now? My husband is returning from Mojave with food. Sorry, Rachel said. He'll be redirected to a government viewing area a mile behind us. Another mile behind that will be a public viewing area. Only a few of us will be allowed to be this close. Also, we'll need to live in a special biosafe tent structure we're building nearby. All of us on the team will live in these structures so we don't infect the general population. You must wear this stylish biosuit until we can determine the nature of their infectious organisms. Nisha said playfully. They are quite the thing. Rachel smiled and held the suit in front of her. They laughed. Nisha blinked to activate her eyepiece. Quinn, I'm sorry, but we're being separated. They want me to live here temporarily so I don't infect anyone. They didn't say anything about you. I think we're okay. It or they aren't careless about microbes. Unbelievable, Quinn said. First, I lose Pri, and now you? What am I going to do? You're going to keep an eye on me here, and you're going to be available for Sanjay. Did you speak with him? Yes, he's afraid because of what he's seeing on his stream. I'll go home tonight, but I don't want to lose you. You're the love of my life. You're mine too. I'll be okay. Take care of Sanjay, and I'll be here working on getting Pri back. Watch my Reddit video stream, okay? I'll send you PMs. Right, I'll also be watching you at the designated viewing area. I've spotted you now in my scope. I'm waving. Do you see me? Oh, yes, I do, Nisha said as she jumped and waved back. I need to go now, but contact me whenever you need me. This is my workplace now. Okay, Nish, Quinn said. I love you, bye. See you, Quinn. Love you more, Nisha said. She tried to keep the mood light despite her broken heart. She knew it could get a lot worse before it got better. She didn't want to tell him, but she feared she would never see her family again. Nisha posted. Construction continues. Public viewing areas are being constructed. Highway 14 is closed north of Mojave. Rachel walked over to Nisha on the crunchy granite sand. Okay, they've set up a temporary place for us. Come with me. They drove on a dusty road into a hastily constructed campground and walked over to the tent. It had a high vantage point where they could monitor the intense alien activity. Impressive, Nisha said. Everything is here for you guys. You have scopes, computers, and a full lab. You mean everything is here for all of us, Rachel said. You're part of our team now. Our immediate mission is to detect alien microorganisms. Thanks, Rachel, Nisha said. This not how I wanted to study alien microorganisms. I'm glad you're here. I'm getting more anxious as time goes on. We'll watch this structure grow by the minute. Nisha counted the levels in silence. 19, 7, 43, 31, Rachel said. Nisha smiled. Rachel, stop! I'm trying to count! Rachel giggled. Let me see, the tower is 50 stories tall.
Rachel's face froze as she stared past Nisha.
What's wrong, Rachel? I thought your joke was funny.
Something is behind you. Turn around slowly and stay calm.
Nisha turned around and looked into the eye of a strange, hovering orb.
She struggled to speak. Then she felt limb paralysis set in. She knew what it was.
Rachel, I can't move.
Me neither, Rachel said.
This happened to me when they took Priya. The best thing to do is to not struggle. If you do, the force against you gets stronger.
Okay,
Rachel said. With a quick blink, Nisha turned on her eyepiece recorder, which fed video to her Reddit and other accounts.
Everyone can watch now, Nisha said. I'm glad my eyes aren't paralyzed.
Who is everyone? Rachel said.
Every one of my 100 million Reddit members can watch my video feed right now. They can listen to me speak since I turned on my microphone. I need to describe this thing to them.
Nisha focused on the small spherical object in front of her. She began her report, pretending to be calm.
I'm Nisha Chandra. Sorry, I'm having trouble breathing. I'm with Rachel Feynman, the lead evolutionary biologist with the CDC. We're located in the Mojave Desert, north of LA, about 300 meters from the alien sphere. What you're looking at seems to be a monitor drone. The surface is reflective, like the bigger spheres. The drone is about the size of a basketball and is hovering a few feet in front of me. I'm anxious because I've been paralyzed by something like this before. I can hear faint mechanical sounds as appendages emerge from the reflective outer shell and move around. I detect no sounds of propulsion, except small ion jets, which are for stability. I'm not sure how the drone hovers so silently. It's magnetically driven. I'm not sure. I'm uncomfortable because it's close to me and scanning me. I can't describe the movement of the appendages over my body. I can't walk or move my arms, but I can talk and breathe. This is the same paralysis I encountered when they abducted my child, Priya.
Nisha, small flying things are coming out of the back of the drone.
There they are, Nisha said to her audience. They are like the mosquito drones which took blood samples earlier.
Ouch, the needle got me.
Are you okay? Rachel said.
I'm fine. I felt a pinprick through my hazmat suit. We've detected no side effects or infections after they do this. I'm not worried. I am, but never mind.
Rachel winced.
Ouch, a needle got me too.
It's okay, Rachel. I doubt anything will happen to us. I hope you're right. I'm seeing a report in my eyepiece which states we've detected no alien microorganisms, or at least nothing significantly different than our microbes. Further DNA analysis may detect them better. I'm not sure how they've accomplished this feat. We spent over $100 million sterilizing the Mars Rover 5, and still, several million microbes survived the trip to Mars. Although they survived, they couldn't reproduce in the harsh conditions, and they all eventually died. The orb accelerated away from them and disappeared into the parent sphere, like a drop of water hitting a pond. Rachel finally moved.
I'm free.
I'm free too, Nisha said.
That's how they operate. They move in fast, paralyze us, do their work, and leave. They're professionally clinical, don't you think?
Yeah. They do their work with analytical precision with the least amount of trauma to the subjects. Who are us? It's like we're lab animals.
Nisha teared up as she watched the sphere. I hope they're treating Priya and the other kids humanely.
Well, maybe the term humanely doesn't apply here, but you know what I mean. I'm ending this transmission now.
I'll give you updates whenever I can.
Nisha blinked and terminated her eyepiece transmission. She sobbed for a moment and then pulled herself together. In all the confusion, I hadn't noticed how much height they've added to the tower, Nisha said. It's over 100 stories tall now. This means the height is about 500 meters, or 1,500 feet. The tower is now taller than the sphere. They watched in silence for a while. Rachel examined the structure closely as she magnified her eyepiece view. The building material doesn't appear to be metal or any construction material we know. It has a gray flat texture to it, which is like concrete but smoother. I wish I could examine the substance up close. I guess they chose this site because of the proximity to appropriate building materials, and the location is far removed from human population centers.
Maybe we should, Nisha said.
Should what?
Nisha smiled slyly. Examine the substance up close.
No way, I'm not getting close to those things, Rachel said.
Nisha squinted in the early morning sunlight.
Speaking of those things, Nisha said. They're climbing down now. They're heading into the sphere like ants retreating into their burrow. Nisha posted, "Frame of structure might be complete. The crawler drones are no longer performing their construction activities." "Things seem to be slowing down for the moment," Nisha said. "I haven't had any sleep all night, so I better get some while I can. Is that okay?"
"Sure, I'll wake you up if anything new happens," Rachel said.
Nisha slept for a few hours. Rachel gave her husband and son the latest news. In Washington, D.C., plans were being made to deal with them or it. President Wilson paced the floor of her subterranean Oval Office and discussed strategy with General Sherman and the chiefs of staff.
"Lucas, we have few options," she said.
"As soon as we do anything considered dangerous by the alien life form or forms, all those involved are killed. They know all about the actors in this play. I want a list of scenarios and how we can respond to them. I don't pretend to know what will happen. Events have been unpredictable. However, I'd like to work out some simulations which might help us when things get tough. We should think of non-lethal ways to defend ourselves."
"I'll get right on that," Lucas said.
"It's difficult to know where to start. They've made no attempt to communicate with us, as far as we know. They ignore our attempts. Even our best simulation theorists are at a loss. However, we'll persevere. In the meantime, I've sent 5,000 troops to get people away from the Mojave building site. 1,000 troops are arriving now. A primary viewing area for approved scientists and others will be constructed 1 mile upwind from the site. There's a bluff 3 miles away which can serve as a public viewing area. We won't allow weapons at the public area."
"That's good," Emma said. "What's happening with the sphere in orbit around the moon?"
"Other than faint transmissions which are going back and forth between the lunar orbiting sphere and the Mojave sphere, we detect no activity at all. The orbit is unchanged. The astronauts who are still in lunar orbit don't appear to be contaminated with alien microorganisms. No contamination has been detected among any of the people who were attacked in New York by the mosquito drones. The aliens are careful to avoid contamination, assuming they're organic beings."
"Thanks, Lucas. Keep me always informed.
This is the most pressing issue right now. This is more important than the stock market, which dropped another 5% this morning and 35% in the past 10 days. I can't do anything about that. It's all psychological. People are worried and are saving their money for a rainy day. The rain is coming." Quinn watched the construction from the designated viewing area for several hours. After speaking with Nisha, he decided to go back home to look after Sanjay. It was a long, hot drive home, partway into a setting sun. He wondered if he'd ever see Nisha and Priya again. He took a deep breath as he entered the front door, trying to act as though nothing was wrong.
"Dad, I don't want to go to school anymore. They're picking on me and my friend who heard the voices. Now my friend is gone. Maybe they abducted him too. Now they'll pick on only me. Can I be homeschooled?"
"I think we can homeschool you now. Mom is going to be busy for a while and I'll have more free time since my sculptures aren't selling and we have savings. So I'm staying home with you."
"Yes," Sanjay said.
Then he looked at the floor and frowned. He knew what was wrong. He also knew the possible dangers in the desert.
"What about Pri? Where is she? And Mom?"
"We don't know where Pri is," Quinn said. "My guess is she's in the sphere orbiting the moon. Nobody knows for sure what's happening. I miss her. I'm missing your mom too. She's going to be working at the alien construction site for a while. It's you and me now, so we need to stick together, okay?"
"Okay, Dad."
Nisha managed to get a few hours of sleep in the scientist's tent. She woke up and walked over to Rachel as she watched the alien construction site through the opening of the tent door.
"Rachel, what's been happening while I slept?"
She gazed skyward.
"They created a beautiful structure. Now the drones are moving equipment and other things from the sphere into the structure."
Nisha looked more closely at the framework.
"There's no pure metal. The concrete appears polished and it's gleaming in the sunlight."
"I can't believe this," Rachel said. "Some of the drones are back. All the windows are being created at the same time by the drones. They're 3D printing glass."
"They built the tower quickly," Nisha said. "The whole thing is partially enclosed in a similar reflective surface as the sphere. Hold on, let me post this. Today is Alien Move-In Day. The structure is a fantastic work of art on the highest level."
Rachel watched Nisha send out another post.
"If this is moving day, who or what is moving in?"
"Good question," Nisha said. "Let me go get something to eat and I'll be back."
Rachel squinted as she picked up her scope to get a better view.
"Nisha." She walked back over to Rachel.
"What?"
Rachel had trouble speaking. She pointed towards the tower. Nisha picked up her scope.
"What's wrong?"
she said as she scanned the building site. Oh, it's them. Those are not machines. The sounds in my mind are louder than ever.
Nisha turned on her eyepiece video with a blink so the world could watch. She posted, "Life forms spotted emerging from sphere. They appear organic like us, not AI unless a hybrid. Our new neighbors are strong looking."
Nisha, maybe we should evacuate and move back.
No, they know we're here. I don't think we should show fear. In the animal world, if you run away, you become the hunted. They wanted to destroy us, we wouldn't be here to be concerned about running away.
What about accidental infections by alien microorganisms? Rachel said.
I'm not going to worry, Nisha said. If alien microbes are loose and we're vulnerable, it's too late for us as a species. We might as well assume they've taken precautions in some way.
Rachel wiped the sweat of her palms on her shirt.
Okay, I agree, Rachel said. We're continually taking air samples, so we'll know if alien microbes are spreading. We've now identified some strange ones, but thus far, they aren't infectious to the animals we've brought along or to us. Their immune systems test in the normal range. We might not need these hazmat suits for long.
Nisha looked through her scope again. She had never experienced terror and happiness at the same time until now.
They're moving on two legs. I've always dreamed of this moment, but not like this. My hands are shaking so much that I can't watch them through the scope.
Rachel moved the scope to rest on top of the fence nearby. There, this should help.
Thanks, that's better. I'll switch over to my eyepiece in a minute. I can't get over this. I'm seeing a species from another planet. They're large but graceful, don't you think?
Yes, they glide along in a smooth way, even though they're two-legged. They must be strong.
Yes, Nisha said. They easily handle Earth's gravity. They might come from a planet with stronger gravity. Most of them are carrying things. The structure of their arms is like ours, but their hands are different. Can you see their hands, Rachel?
Yes, sometimes I get a glimpse of their hands. They have many fingers, but we're too far away to get a clear view. They aren't human-like, despite a similar body layout.
You're right, Nisha said. They come in many assorted colors. However, they don't seem to be wearing clothing as far as I can tell, though some of the skin is covered with something like fur. Most are blue, but watch the red one near the first post. Wait, the red one is turning blue. They turn colors. Another one is changing from bluish green to red. I wish I could see them close, but I'm afraid to get any closer. I'm uneasy being only 200 meters away. Thousands of them are coming out of the sphere now. They're walking into the new structure.
Hey, they're watching us, Rachel said. Is your eyepiece turned on?
Yes, several of them are looking at us. I think we're too close. We shouldn't back away now. That would be a sign of weakness. Oh no.
What, Nisha?
Two of them are heading towards us, Nisha said. She wrote a quick post. Two beings are walking towards me right now. Follow my live eyepiece feed.
Rachel smiled as best she could and made light of the moment.
That last post should get you a few new members.
Nisha rubbed her arms to relieve the goosebumps.
Yeah, but this is a tough way to gain new members. I can't believe real aliens from outer space are walking towards us and we're thinking about my Reddit stream. It's a good distraction. Be calm, Rachel. Don't make any rapid movements.
Rachel looked wide-eyed at Nisha. The aliens walked across the desert landscape and directly up to them, still in their hazmat suits.
Okay, I'll be calm if you say so. Now that they're right in front of us, they're bigger than I thought. They're well over 6 feet tall. Check out their eyes.
Yes, Nisha said, describing them to her audience. They're like the eyes of a chameleon. They move independently. They're over a foot taller than me. I think they weigh about 3 times me.
Hello, Nisha said to the aliens, who were a pleasant shade of blue. The aliens didn't reply. They inspected Nisha and Rachel.
Maybe they didn't hear you, Nisha, Rachel said.
I don't know. They have ear-like slits at the base of the skull, but I'm not certain. I'm getting nervous. I can still move. Can you move?
Rachel stood stiffly and nodded. Yes.
I'm having trouble breathing.
Me too, but it's nerves, not paralysis. The voices are still in my mind, Rachel. The voices, or whatever they might be, are like the sounds I've known since day one. Only now there's less static. I hear them as electronic. They sound louder in my mind than the other thousands of voices I've heard, but they're not speaking out loud. They are speaking a language, but I don't know what they're saying. The sound is like white noise. They communicate rapidly.
Ugh. What, Nisha?
See how they watch us? I felt this way once when I watched a grizzly bear in a cage.
I felt that if the bear could get out of the cage, I would be helpless to stop it from attacking me. The problem is, these aliens are out of their cage and they're inspecting me as though I'm a curiosity or dinner. Rachel turned to one of the aliens and said, "Hello?" Nisha pointed to herself and said, "Nisha." She pointed to one of the aliens. They continued their inspection and didn't respond. One looked right into Nisha's eyes, first with one eye and then with the other eye until both eyes focused on her. There, Nisha could sense a voice in her mind, so she looked back and said, "I can hear you." The alien gave Nisha a sniff with a rubbery, ribbed nose. The aliens stared at each other with one eye for a long time. The other eye was on Nisha and Rachel. "I think they're communicating," Nisha said. "They must use telepathy in some way. I don't think that's physically possible to send clear telepathic signals with organic brains. However, they don't make sounds. They don't seem to use their little mouths to communicate. Their eyes make me uneasy. They're looking at me in two places at once, and then they focus. Check out those fingers." Nisha focused her eyepiece on the alien hand as it reached out to touch her. The world watched. "Don't move, Nisha," Rachel said. "I won't," Nisha said. "Rachel, each hand has six fingers, with three opposing the other three. The layout is like having three thumbs opposing three fingers. The fingers are nimble. The hand is squeezing my arm. Ouch. Even though the suit, I can tell their skin is rough, like a cat's tongue." The alien pulled away. Nisha picked up a pad of paper and a pen from the nearby picnic table. The aliens noticed. She drew a picture of the solar system with the sun in the middle and an arrow pointing to the third planet, the Earth. She pointed to the third planet and said, "Earth." The aliens glanced at each other and turned bright shades of green. "I made an impression," Nisha said. They turned towards each other for a moment and walked away towards the sphere and tower.
"Oh, maybe I didn't make much of an impression."
"That's all?" Rachel said.
"No, take me to your leader or anything."
Nisha breathed heavily. "That's enough for now. My heart feels like it's going to explode. I feel their intellect and physical power." Nisha teared up. So did Rachel.
"My pulse rate is 150, Rachel said. "It won't slow down."
"Mine too," Nisha said. What's strange is, I felt nothing emotional from them. They didn't seem interested in us. They were curious about the experience of seeing us close, but they didn't pay any attention to us as individuals. We're like specimens to them. "You're right, they were more interested in each other than in us. I feel violated. They sniffed us and looked us over without any compassion. I felt like a cornered animal, and they treated us as animals. Now they're back at the sphere going about their business as though nothing happened. For humans, this may be the most significant event in history. For them, it's just another day at the zoo. What makes the situation worse is none of the others are as interested as they were. They watched from a distance and didn't bother to come over."
"What is your impression, Nisha?"
"My experience is like yours. I feel they think they're so far above us we don't warrant direct communication. At one point, I think they attempted to communicate. I could sense their electronic thoughts when I said Earth, and they turned green. I could sense their voices in my mind, but I guess I didn't reply in a way they consider to be civilized. Did I do something wrong?"
"I don't think there's anything else you might do, short of knowing their language and communicating silently."
Nisha smiled as they streamed into the new structure, like a line of ants moving between a food source into a colony.
"Yeah, I'd impress them if I could paralyze them and force them into my super, antimatter drive sphere.
Wait a second. I'm getting a notification in my eyepiece from an astronomer friend." Rachel waited. "The sphere in orbit around the moon is leaving orbit. It is heading to Earth. That sphere is 20 miles in diameter, which is about 100 times the diameter of this enormous sphere in front of us. I can't breathe." They said nothing for a moment as Rachel glanced up at the crescent moon in the morning sky and felt her pulse in her neck.
"I'm having heart trouble too," she said.
"Is the mother sphere going to land here? Is this 1,000-foot sphere in front of us only a shuttle? That massive thing might crush all of us. Fortunately, we're too close to the other sphere for it to land on this spot without crushing the tower and the shuttle sphere."
"We should get a little sleep," Nisha said.
"I think we'll need to be rested when the big sphere arrives," Nisha addressed her Reddit audience. "I'll broadcast more soon, everyone. Don't panic, they mean us no harm." She blinked to turn off her eyepiece broadcast, but kept recording in case something happened. In Washington, D.C., the president and her staff monitored the movement of the large sphere as it approached the Earth.
Lucas, where is the object now? President Wilson said.
It's already 90% of the way to Earth, General Sherman said.
How long ago did it leave lunar orbit?
Almost 2 hours ago.
Are you saying this 20-mile-wide thing can travel from the moon to the Earth in 2 hours?
Affirmative, General Sherman said.
At this point, all we can do is wait and be on the highest level of readiness. That's our status. Countries around the world are also on their highest alert status. We're communicating to make sure nobody makes a mistake and launches a nuclear device.
Yes, the enemy isn't on this planet, the president said.
Let's keep it that way. What's the stock market doing?
The average has dropped 8% in the past hour. That's a 40% drop since the crisis began, the Fed chairman said. I've never seen such a steep decline since 1929, not only in the stock market, but in overall economic activity. At the start of the Great Depression in October 1929, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped from 400 to 200 in the two-week crash. Then it rose for 6 months to 300 and then dropped to 42 years later. That's a 90% drop. Now, people aren't buying things. Many are taking off work. This might turn into a severe depression. I'm going to suggest taking interest rates to zero effective as soon as this meeting ends. I'm glad we managed to pay down part of the national debt over the past decade. That should help us survive this fall.
We can borrow with quantitative easing to keep the economy afloat. The president turned to the general.
What's the object doing now, Lucas?
The speed is decreasing. He held a finger up.
Hold on.
Silence.
Yes, I'm getting confirmation. The spacecraft is entering Earth's orbit. It's not preparing to land on the surface. For now, we'll remain at the highest defensive condition.
Nisha, wake up, Rachel whispered.
Oh, hi, Rachel, Nisha said as she rubbed her eyes.
She blinked to activate her eyepiece and transmitted video.
What's happening?
Rachel looked out the open flaps of the tent towards the setting moon over the sphere. The big sphere is in a geostationary orbit around the Earth. It has a permanent direct line of sight to this location and the surrounding hemisphere. The sphere in orbit around the moon is already in orbit here. How long did I sleep? Rachel blinked to get the time.
A little over 2 hours. The sphere took 2 hours to travel from lunar orbit to an orbit around the Earth.
Impressive, Nisha said. Even their architecture is impressive. I mean, check out this building. There's nothing like it on Earth. They built it overnight without lifting a single one of their six fingers. They used materials located on site. How many of them might live in there?
Rachel studied the tower for a while. She blinked to activate her eyepiece.
I'm getting an estimate of 250,000 based on their size and how much space humans need. Reality may differ.
Nisha put her hands to her temples.
Oh.
What's happening? Rachel said.
The voices are loud now. Millions of them seem to be flowing in a chorus.
Nisha continued rubbing her temples.
The sensation is like a continuous flow of electrons. I wonder if this is how the internet sounds if I could hear the entire thing with my ears. I can't tell whether I'm sensing their thoughts or their communications. Maybe I'm sensing both because they're the same thing.
Yes, maybe they're one and the same, Rachel said. Nisha pinched her eyes into little slits.
Oh, I see. In other words, what they think gets transmitted to others in the same way our thoughts get transmitted chemically within our bodies when we type or talk. That's a good hypothesis. If correct, I wonder how they get their thoughts translated into electronic signals. This gets me to thinking. I wonder if... She stared at the ground.
You wonder if what?
Sorry, Nisha said. For a second, I thought I heard Priya. Thousands of voice-like signals. Somehow, I can vaguely pick them up.
I sense nothing from them, Rachel said.
You're fortunate. The noise is constant. I can't get away from them.
Oh, Rachel put her hand on Nisha's shoulder.
What?
I think I picked up some human voices. I think Priya's was among them. I'm not sure. I'm wishing too hard. Hold on.
Nisha blinked to talk with Quinn, and he answered. Nish, is that you?
Yes.
And just so you know, the world is watching us talk right now.
How are you? I missed you all night. The night went on forever.
I missed you too, Nish. Sanjay and I are going over some school assignments. He wants to be homeschooled.
Since I'll be at home for a while, I decided to take advantage of that. I hope this is okay.
Of course, Nisha said. I contacted you to tell you I'm okay, and I believe Pri is alive and well.
When the big sphere entered orbit, the voices got louder and clearer. Twice, I think I heard Priya's voice and other human-like voices too. They sounded electronic and not human, as do all the voices.
That's exciting, except about the electronic part.
I want you to know she's okay and I miss you so much. I need to go. Listen to my stream and you'll know everything I do. I might send you a little message from time to time, though I'm streaming to the world, okay?
Okay, Nish, Quinn said. Be careful, I want you both back.
Okay, I'll get us back. Bye.
As Nisha said goodbye, Rachel glanced into the clear blue sky and pointed. Nisha?
Another one, Nisha said.
Just like the first one. Rachel got an incoming message.
I'm getting confirmation. The new sphere came from the large sphere in orbit, she said. I hear no sound other than some displacement wind and a low, throbbing hum, Nisha said. How do they do that? How are these things moving? They're incredible engineers. I'm in awe. I understand why an advanced civilization might be worshipped as gods. I'm getting an alert from my compass agent. There's a strong magnetic disturbance happening. The sphere is partially propelled by a magnetic drive, which might work against the Earth's magnetic field. They're sailing on the field or something. I can't imagine how much energy is required to resist the weak magnetic field of the Earth, enough to levitate this huge sphere.
I'm in awe too, Rachel said.
Okay, it's touching the ground. There. It landed silently and perfectly. I sensed a low frequency rolling for a moment, Nisha said.
They're awesome engineers. I hope they don't turn against us.
Nisha gazed upwards.
Me too.
There's no indication they'll turn against us. They've taken every precaution to not damage the environment or the life on Earth. They kill only in self-defense as a precaution to avoid future deaths or injuries. I'm a little more optimistic now, though I'm cautious. Don't wear anything magnetic.
Do you think Priya and the other children are alive? Rachel said.
Yes, I know it for a fact. They sound different than the aliens, but they're out there. I'm not sure why, but in the past few days, the children's voices sound electronic. I could never sense the thoughts of Priya or anyone else before. I don't believe in telepathy. There's no evidence that our mushy, chemically connected brains broadcast decipherable electromagnetic signals.
Rachel stared at the second sphere, which sat on the desert floor behind and to the right of the first sphere. The crawling builder drones were coming out from both spheres.
Nisha blinked to zoom in with her eyepiece as she continued to send out video.
Millions of them are exiting the spheres. They are doing the same thing as before. Notice how they're going into the same mining hole? They might build another tower. I'd guess at least 10,000 of the aliens are living in the first tower already. That's 3% to 10% of capacity. Rachel, what are you looking at?
I'm not sure. Something is happening with the first sphere.
They stood in silence as it levitated above the desert floor and accelerated into the sky. The liftoff was as quiet as the landing, other than the heavy vibration in the ground when it landed.
Nisha continued broadcasting the events.
Ugh! Rachel shouted. That's the most powerful sonic boom I've ever felt. The sphere traveled away from us. That reduced the sound volume, but the boom still shook the ground. There's a dust devil still swirling in its place.
I can't get over their level of mastery of physics and other sciences, Nisha said. They are a race of master engineers. I have a thought.
What?
The original sphere has left behind at least 10,000 aliens in the tower. This means they're living in this area, at least temporarily. The structure looks permanent to me. However, they built this tower in less than a day. For them, this might be like putting up a tent for camping.
What do they want?
Rachel focused on the second sphere with her eyepiece.
Thousands of them are coming out of the second sphere and moving into the tower. They aren't wasting any time.
Yeah, Nisha said. They don't mess around. When they want to do something, they go all out. Watch them. They're all bright shades of blue and green. I wonder what the colors signify.
Rachel glanced at Nisha as she watched the aliens.
Look up!
Nisha still broadcasted video. She glanced at Rachel and then gazed into the sky.
Here comes another one. They come in fast, but they are in slow motion because they're so big. I guess these 300-meter spheres are shuttles going back and forth to the mothership.
Whoa, there's the delayed sonic boom and now the ground is vibrating again during landing.
Nisha, turn around. Here comes an entire group of aliens walking this way.
Stay calm like before,
Nisha said. Let them examine us. I'm going to narrate for my broadcast audience. This group looks the same as the last two individuals who inspected us earlier. They're flickering in bright shades of blue. I wonder if the colors indicate emotional states of being. I haven't had a chance to revise my method of greeting them. Last time they got bored. What should we do? We can't impress them with our technological prowess. We might have something in common with them on an emotional level or on some other level. How can we establish a connection with them? They became silent as the aliens walked over to them.
I don't know about this, Rachel said. They want to touch me. They're getting too close. I want to get out of here.
Nisha continued broadcasting to the worldwide audience.
I'm freaking out too, but let them check us out. They're strong enough to do us severe damage, but they're not. This one is delicately examining my eye.
You and the audience must be getting quite a close-up view of their incredible, independently moving eyes via my eyepiece.
Rachel, tell the guys in the tent to get out of there. The aliens are going in and I don't want any trouble.
Nay.
Okay, let's go find out what they're doing in there. They walked over to the tent, trying to be slow and casual.
Oh, Nisha said. They're taking the equipment. I'm not sure what to do. I hope they don't take the infrared scanner. I'm going to get that before they do.
Nisha grabbed the scanner, but one of the biggest aliens came over and tried to snatch the gun-like device out of her hands. However, Nisha held on.
It's turning red, Rachel warned. I think you better let go.
Fine, take it, Nisha shouted at the alien. The alien pulled hard and took away the scanner effortlessly. It gave Nisha a close inspection with both eyes, turned a dull red, and walked out of the tent.
You've got some nerve, Nisha shouted while following them as they walked out.
Rachel didn't want things to get out of control.
Nisha, I don't think yelling at them is a good idea. We don't want to start an interstellar war. I don't think we'd win.
Nisha looked to the ground, breathing rapidly.
Yeah, I know, I got upset. Who do they think they are?
For the time being, they're the dominant species on this planet. They know it. They watched as the aliens walked back to their tower. Nisha kicked the ground in disgust.
They don't care at all. They came over, checked us out, grabbed some of our equipment, and left.
They didn't attempt to communicate. They want to check out our level of technological development. We're just curiosities to them. I'm a little embarrassed because this will confirm what they already know. We're a backward species compared to them. Rachel turned towards the alien tower. A second tower is going up. They built two levels while we were in the tent.
I wonder what they're doing. Are they setting up an outpost of some sort? Do they want to observe us and the local solar system? Are they early colonists like Columbus?
You know what Columbus and those who followed him did to the native people. Things were briefly fine, and then it turned ugly. Do they view us in the same way the early explorers thought of the dodo bird? Are we only another native species to them?
I'm not sure, Rachel said. They don't seem to be aggressive toward us.
That's true. The early explorers weren't aggressive towards the dodo either, but the huge bird still became extinct because the explorers didn't care, and they were hungry. These aliens don't seem to want to exterminate us, but they show little interest in us either.
I think you're worrying too much, Rachel said as she put her hand on Nisha's shoulder.
The aliens must make their own food. Why don't you get a little sleep? I need it too. We'll be alerted if anything happens. Nisha contacted Quinn to say goodnight and then slept. A few hours later, still in darkness, Rachel tapped her on the shoulder.
Nisha, wake up. We gotta move.
Why should we move, Rachel? Nisha said as she rubbed her eyes and got up.
The crawler drones are moving this way. I think they're going to build a third tower nearby, so we better move back.
Okay, Nisha said as she surveyed the local terrain.
Let's move the camp up the rocky hillside about 1,000 meters. They seem to like flat land, so they won't build up there.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rachel said.